Joshua chapter 8, and we're in verse 30 of Joshua chapter 8. We kind of have a question to ask you tonight. We could title our sermon a different way. First of all, it could be a question. Can God bless America? The other title would be the principles of God blessing a nation. So here we find in Joshua, a very important event takes place. And we'll read about it in Joshua chapter number 8, verse 30. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man had lift up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side the ark, and on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant with them. And so we have a great a ceremony taking place in the Samaria part of Israel, we would call it today in geographical terms, near the city of present day city of Nablus, I think. We have the city of Shechem in the Bible, and outside the city of Shechem, there's two great, you call it pretty big hills, real big hills, real big hills. One is Mount Ebal and one is Mount Gerizim. And the nation of Israel, can you imagine it? All the nation of Israel now marches up to this territory, to Mount Gerizim and to Mount Ebal, and there they make a monument out of stone. They plaster it, and they write on that monument the words of the law of God. And the Bible tells us that half of the congregation, half of the people of Israel, go to Mount Ebal, and the other half go to Mount Gerizim. And in between are the priests and the Levites and the altar of God. And here the people of God are making a covenant with the God of Israel. And so we'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27 and we'll read a little bit there of what Moses commanded the people, what they were supposed to do when they get to the land. And Moses, Deuteronomy 27, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be, verse 4, when ye go on over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster, and there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon it. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings and shall eat there and rejoice before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of the law very plainly. And Moses and the priests and the Levites spake unto all Israel, saying, Take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people that same day, saying, There shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you come over Jordan, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. These are the tribes and all the people who belong to those tribes. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and shall say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, Cursed be the man that maketh thy graven image or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Then the Levites will say, Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. In other words, they would make fun of their parents, make light of them. This is honor thy father and thy mother. And then it says, He cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. That's stealing. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. All the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be that he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any man or beast. And all the people shall say, Amen. And all these curses here we find, and the people will answer the curse, and they will say, Amen, or so be it. And then Bible tells us that Gerizim is the mount of blessing. And we read about that, the blessings in verse 28. It says, And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed thou shalt be in the city, blessed thou shalt be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. And we go on to see all these different blessings. Verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, that he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments. And it just goes on, all these different blessings, and they're going to give each one of these blessings, and the people are going to say, Amen! And we have the blessings and the cursings. And so, if you'd read in detail, chapter 27, chapter 28, God makes it specific what the curse will be. And the curse, the Bible tells us, will come because, verse 15, But if it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And he talks about he talks about war. He talks about diseases. He talks about agriculture. He talks about all these things. Verse 63 of 28. And shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And so we have the blessing and cursing. They're coming into the land, building an altar, presenting before the Lord peace offerings, burnt sacrifices, that speak of the fact that that all they have belongs to God. The peace offerings, that is because of the blood of Jesus Christ, that they can have relationship with a living God and have fellowship with Him. What a blessing that is. And then they're going to repeat the law of God, the commandments, the moral code of the people of God. They're going to write it on a board, a plaster board, a monument. And we're reminded in Deuteronomy chapter 5, these great words. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. These are great verses. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Wow, what a great verse. This is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations. This will make you different from all the peoples of the world, because these are the laws of God. This is the truth given from heaven to mankind. The Bible. God's Word. The revelation of a holy God. All the rest of the world is in darkness. The people of God have been blessed with the truth. You know, we have the wrong idea about the Bible. Young people have the wrong idea about the Bible. Young people, young adults have the wrong idea about the Bible. You know what? You ought to be searching the Bible. Pondering the Bible to gain the wisdom of God, rather than having this carnal, worldly attitude like, oh, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. I don't want to do that. How foolish. We got God's holy word. Make us wise. You know what? We ought to be looking at the Bible and say, what can I obey now? What can I obey now? What can I change in my life that I might follow God and have His blessing on my life? You know, we live in a day of antinomianism. That means no law, rebellion. And colleges, Christian colleges, are full of rebels. It's not about how can I obey the Bible? It's what can I get away with? How can I eliminate the Bible? Churches are full of people like that. What a curse. And you can see why it's a curse. You know, God said, what does He say? This is your wisdom and your understanding. And the nations will say, surely this is a great nation, is a wise and understanding people. What nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God in all these things? What nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgment so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Wow. We got the Bible. We have the Bible. It's a revelation of the God of heaven. You know, we'd be in darkness completely without the Bible. In darkness. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. Somebody was witnessing to someone. And I had witnessed to this person before, and they had all their own ideas. And a relative said to this man, why are you trying to rewrite the Bible? I thought, boy, that's a good way of putting it. Rewrite the Bible, yeah. People are always trying to rewrite the Bible. They wanted to say what they wanted to say. No, the Bible's got it right there. It's not a trying to rewrite, it's trying to obey what it says and learn what it says. And so, God's Word. God's Word. And so, we see here the formula of blessing. The formula of blessing. We, first of all, have the law of God. We have the law of God. A law that is to given by God to man. Secondly, we have the choice of the people to obey God's law or not. And then the third ingredient is we have a sovereign God. We have a sovereign God who rules over all. He is a God of all the earth. And he rules in the heavens. Amen. And he is sovereign God. He said to the people of Israel, you obey this law, I will bless you. If you disobey this law, you will be cursed. Very simple. You know, I was thinking, we sang, God bless America. You know, well, that sounds great. I think of 9/11. The day after 9/11, all the members of the Congress stood on the steps of the Capitol and they sang, God bless America. Very touching. They didn't mean it. They didn't mean it. Most of them didn't. I mean, they meant it, but they didn't mean it. Because the Bible tells us how you get God's blessing. You don't get God's blessing by praying, singing, God bless America. The Bible makes it very clear. God has his law. What's right and wrong. You disobey that law, you'll be cursed. You obey that law, you'll be blessed. That's as simple as that. You know why? Because God's in charge. God is a supernatural, sovereign God that rules over the affairs of men. And I don't want to get too ahead of myself because I don't want to miss this one illustration. 1987, Ted Koppel from the liberal ABC News Nightline. Remember, anybody old enough to remember Ted Koppel? Okay, you're all kind of ancient, yeah, okay, like me. Some of you weren't even born then, right? Who wasn't even born then? Oh, wow, well, I'm glad that you're here too, okay? Well, Ted Koppel, he was gave a speech at the commencement at Duke University in 1987. And he said something like this, I have the exact words, but this is putting some of the excerpts together. We have actually convinced ourselves that slogans will save us. Think of the politicians today. Slogans will save us. Shoot up if you must, but use a clean needle. And I'm not going to read some of it here. The answer is no. Not because it isn't cool or smart or because you might end up in jail or an AIDS ward. But no, it's wrong. Because we have spent 5,000 years as a race of rational beings searching for truth and moral absolutes. In its purest form, truth is not a polite snap tap on the shoulders. It is a howling reproach. What Moses brought down from Mount Sinai were not ten suggestions. They are commandments. He goes on to say, the sheer brilliance of the Ten Commandments is that they codify in a handful of words acceptable human behavior, not just for then or now, but for all time. Language evolves, power shifts from one nation to another, messages are transmitted with the speed of light, many races from one frontier to another, and yet we and our behavior and the commandments which govern that behavior remain the same. The tension between those commandments and our baser instincts provide the grist for journalism's daily mill. What a huge gaping hole there would be in our informational flow and in our entertainment without routine violation of the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. Ted Koppel, liberal, saying the basis of all civilization for 5,000 years has been the Ten Commandments. But we have here a great principle, some great principles. We have the principle of a covenant before God. The people of Israel were making a covenant with God. You are our God. This is your law. We are your people. We recognize, we obey your law, we will be cursed. We disobey it, we'll be cursed. If we obey it, we will be blessed. They stood to it. Hezekiah, when revival came, he brought the people to a covenant with God. Josiah, the great king of Israel, when he read the law of God, which had been read from the temple, and recognized their plight before God, he made the people stand to a covenant with God. And there was revival. Count Zinzendorf, in the 1700s in Moravia, had the people of the Moravian settlements covenant together to live for God and to love one another. Revival broke out that lasted 100 years. Covenant. You know, the basis of a church is a people who covenant together. We could read our covenant. I don't know if it's in here or not. Used to be. Having been led by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we do now in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, most solemnly and joyful, enter into covenant one with another as one body in Christ. That's the basis of a New Testament church, a covenant to obey God, a covenant to do what is right. It's a covenant before God, angels, and men. It's serious. That covenant brings with it blessing and cursing. Blessing of obedience, the curse of disobedience. You know, a family is based on a covenant. In a looser sense, but in a true sense, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It wasn't maybe. It wasn't me, might be. It isn't, we're going to go to church if we feel like it. No! We will serve God. That's the basis of a real family. You want the blessing of God in your family, you make a covenant with God. You say, we will serve the Lord. Doesn't matter what anybody else does, we're going to serve God. That's the whole principle. And so here we have a principle of blessing, a covenant, first of all, a covenant with God, a covenant with one another. Think what a big thing that is before God. Men and women covenanting before God. Now you think about that. You know what? The whole affair of life, you know what it's about? It's about Satan trying to tear you down and to bring you to a place where you disregard that covenant to live for God. Isn't that true? You lose that strength of mind, strength of will to do right, follow God. And you know what? That's the very beginning of destruction of your family, destruction of your church, destruction of your life. It's a principle of God's word, a covenant before God to do what's right. You know, young person, we live in a day of namby-pambyism. Mamby-pambyism. You know, no decisiveness for right. No strong decisions, promises to God. Namby-pambyism. And that's exactly what it produces, namby-pambyism. Nothing. We hear this great principle, this great picture. Wouldn't it be great if America would say, the God of heaven and earth, the God who gave the Bible, that's our God. We can't say God bless America without saying the God of the Bible is the God that we need. We can't have God's blessing on America if we will not say we will obey God and God's laws. You know, we live, our politicians are the biggest hypocrites you can imagine. When you have a Supreme Court justice that swears on the Bible and then makes his law of gay marriage, makes a law that says the murder of a child is okay. That's the land we live in. Can we sing God Bless America? Not with biblical minds. God, bring us back to obedience. God, bring us back to the God of the Bible. It'd be helpful for you to read Deuteronomy, what the Bible really says. You know, if you don't obey my law, I'll make your enemy stronger than you. If you don't obey my word, I'll dry up the heavens, there won't be rain. You don't obey the word of God, I'll make your nation a byword. In other words, it'll be just lost in oblivion in history. I mean, that's where we're at. These principles, we are not the nation of Israel, obviously. But the principles obviously are true. They apply. The Bible says, makes it very clear that righteousness exalts a nation. And it means any nation. And sin is a curse to any people. Doesn't matter what nation is. And so as I think about it today, as we think about it tonight, do you want God's blessing? You know, we all say we want God's blessing. We all do. Who doesn't want God's blessing? But despite what the liberals say, despite what the new evangelicals say, despite what the compromisers say, despite what the new fundamentalists say, no blessing without obedience. No blessing without obedience. This book is a book of wisdom. We should be peering its pages and meditating on its pages to get the gist of everything in it, even those parts of that scripture that refer to Israel and Israel alone, because they're full of wisdom. This book is not a magic book where we spend a couple minutes in it and say, whoop, had my devotions today. Guess I'm going to, I'm fine now. Live the rest of my life, the rest of the day without God, without doing His will, and go on and do my business. I did my magic for the morning. I read my Bible, a couple verses. No, it's far more than that, isn't it? It's God's holy word. Its truths are full of truth that's beyond our comprehension. It isn't us to decide which verses we want to obey and which verses we want to disobey, like the modern fundamentalists. Oh, it doesn't say that. Oh, thou shalt not wear that which pertaineth to a man. Oh, it doesn't mean that. I wonder what it means. Must mean something else. Must be talking about hickory nuts or something. That's the way people talk today. No, we should be saying, God, what is it? I don't want to try. I just was reading an article by this guy from Liberty University. And there's an article on tattoos. And he had all these verses in the Bible that talked about how you shouldn't have tattoos. And then his conclusion was, well, we know from the Bible that there's nothing in the Bible that says tattoos are wrong. Huh? I guess that's what means that what means when you get a PhD, you know, post-hole digger. You know? Now you can decide what the Bible says and what it doesn't say. You're an expert. You know? It doesn't mean what it says because, you know, everybody wants to do it, so it must not mean that. Isn't that amazing? The day in which we live. A lady wrote to a Christian newspaper, a Christian magazine. Says, you know, in our church, we got this CCM music, the CCM rock music. They're throwing away the dress standards. And they're making all these changes to reach the yuppie crowd, the people in their 20s and their 30s. And all the people in the church who sacrificed to build the church and to keep it going all these years, they're on the outside. Can you give us some help? She said. Well, the sad thing is, the magazine she was writing got the same problem. Same problem. We need to realize the blessing of God comes in our country, not by throwing out God's law, but by bringing it back. And young person, college age young person, the blessing of God comes on your life by going to God's word with a hungry, submissive spirit. Says, Lord, what is there here? How can I understand this? How can I apply this to my life? How can I live this? Because obedience brings blessing, whether it's your life, whether it's your family, whether it's our church, or whether it's our nation. And instead of this cry of carnality that says, oh, conformity, 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 do this, do that. No, it's got to be on the heart. Yeah, exactly. On the heart. Oh, Lord, I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day That's what it means to be on your heart. Amen? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. That's what it means to be in your heart. Amen? That's where the blessing is. And so we want God to bless America. But it won't happen. In fact, we're in the cycle of curses. Unless our nation repents. And you know what? Just talking to Marv Munyon, and he has a friend that's got elected up to Washington, D.C. And he was talking to him last fall, and Marv said to him, "Well, what do you think?" And this new congressman said, "Well, I'll tell you what, Marv." He says, "The answer is not in Washington, D.C." So don't get too involved and falsely hooked into politics, because there's no answer in politics. The answer is in God. The answer is in God. Our nation needs God. And you know what? If we don't need God, and young people, if you don't need God, and if we don't want to obey God, how could we say they need God? We can't. Then we become a part of the problem and not a part of the solution. And you know, maybe it's, you know, we all have our hang-ups. But what is it in your life that you want to do it your way? You know what the Bible says, but you don't want to do it God's way. You want to do it your way. That's where obedience starts, doesn't it? What God says, let God be God. Okay, Lord, I will obey. I want to obey. I'll go to your word to learn how to obey. My life is going to be characterized by obedience to God, the God of this book. And the formula is simple. What did he say? If you hearken unto these words, I will what? Bless you. I will bless you. That's kind of simple, isn't it? Kind of simple, isn't it? We would like to have some kind of magic where we can live the way we want, and then we just pray a prayer, God bless me, and it all works out. Not how it works, does it? You have his law. He's a sovereign God over all people, all nations. We obey his law, we get his blessing. We disobey his law, we get the curses of disobedience. It's as simple as that. Can God bless your life? Can God bless your family? Can God bless our church? Can God bless our nation? Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight. A very simple truth, but Lord, one that we really need to get a hold of. Lord, deliver us from leaning upon our own understanding. Lord, deliver us from that proud spirit that says, I don't need to obey. That rebellious spirit that says, I won't obey. That spirit that says, I know better than the Bible. Lord, give us that humble, childlike, humble obedience Lord, to your word, to your Holy Spirit as we walk in life. Give us, Lord, a heart that hungers to obey you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the Lord has spoken to your heart and your life today in a very simple way. Maybe you know how to pray for America better. I hope that we do pray for America. God raises up some politicians who know what the problem is, what the need is. But right here, the Lord's been speaking to your heart. Do you have that obedient heart? We want God's blessing, but we don't always want to fulfill the conditions of God's blessing. Obedience. And tonight, praise God, Spirit of God has done something in your life, and you say, you know what? I want to obey God. I want to obey God. I want to obey Him, that He be first in my life. And God spoke my heart about obeying Him. Just simple question. And raise your hand and say, God spoke my heart. I want to obey Him. Okay? Okay, praise the Lord. Number of different hands. Amen. Maybe you need to write that down in your Bible. The key to blessing is obedience. And I recognize that. January 3rd, 2016. You're here tonight and you say, you know, actually, I've been going the wrong way. Actually, I've been trying to figure out how to get away from living more righteously. I've been trying to live more loosely. And the Lord has spoken to my heart about my spirit. My spirit is wrong. It's not that spirit of obedience. And God has dealt with you tonight. And you're ready to come back to the Lord. You're ready to come back to the Lord and submit to Him in your life. I realize this is very straightforward and this is kind of big. But you're there and you say, that's me. I'm ready to come back and obey God. Have the right spirit before God rather than going my own way. Anyone here tonight, just raise that hand. Okay? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Lord, now bless the invitation. And Lord, we pray for that precious soul that is here that is not saved. And I pray that, Lord, that you'd work in their hearts. And Lord, our disobedience comes from a sinful heart. And we thank you that, Lord, in new birth, your spirit gives us an obedient heart. And that through you, Lord, we can follow you. So I pray for souls that need to be saved even. I pray for those who need to check their soul's condition about their relationship to Jesus Christ. If they have really repented from going their own way to turning to Him and submitting to Him. So I pray that you'd bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.